for the podcast.
Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5.
Exit 216.
Hit me with your wet twat!
Fuck, it's hot.
Is it just me or am I sweating in here?
No, oh, Jesus. I'm sweating like a pizza eater.
I'm smoking like a, sweating like a keef smoker.
Man, they just got on it.
I know, right at the right time, too. They got karma to burn.
Yeah, they do.
Hey, everybody. What the hell is happening? We're back.
Hey.
We're back. Terry and Gatz Comedy Show for a Monday.
We're like Chucky.
Or Poltergeist, right?
We're back.
Or Jennifer Tilly.
Oh. You know what? For some reason, my ex-girlfriend hated her.
Her voice?
That probably was some of it. She just would not watch any movie that she was in. Remember that movie
was
that her...
Was she jealous of her breasts?
Maybe. Remember that movie with her and Gina Gershon? Where they were like all hot and heavy lesbians or something? What guy wouldn't like that movie?
No, I know. I own that.
Like,
watch it weekly.
I fucking hate that girl. And I was like, why? Because the voice is high and she talks like this kind of or something?
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of like that girl from...
Marissa Tomei?
Yeah, or she's almost like that girl from fucking Orange is the New Black, the van driver.
Oh, yeah.
With the high voice and she talks like she has a boyfriend, but she's really just a stalker.
Well, I know.
She's crazy.
Dude, that was a long storyline before they played that out, wasn't
it? Yeah, yeah. I can't believe she got away with, like, sneaking out and going into that guy's house. And then, like, he came to visit her. That was weird.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, her not being caught, it just makes him look fucking waggy.
Yeah.
But in the end, she's just going to end up going back with that lesbian... Yeah, and then they're gonna, because when they were, you know, that's the reason why she ended it with those two.
Yeah,
was because
her boyfriend
Christopher.
We're gonna have the best wedding ever.
Yep.
Oh wait, let's just stay here and chomp each other's gine all day.
Yeah, that's what I'd do if I was in a women's prison.
That makes for some good TV
too. I just have a line going next.
Giant line, that's what we call it. Who needs a giant chomped?
Yep.
There's a line starting here. Let's see, it's the 21st. Oh, man, I just saw a sign today from God. No, it's actually from the county maintenance crew. The way that I normally come here, whoever drives that for the next 2 weeks will be expecting 30-minute delays because of re-chipping, pavement chipping, some kind of...
What are they doing, chipping it? They got jackhammers out there?
Not yet, because it starts tomorrow, which is today, the 21st. For anybody who knows what I'm talking about, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but what milepost is this?
It's from it's right on Columbus from Highway 34 up to probably 7 Mile Lane.
Wow. All right, so a big...
Yeah, so I'm just going to go into town.
That could take years too, right?
Oh, yeah, you think. So I'm just going to go to exit 233. It takes just as long. You just have to go through some lights and stuff and take Geary back. A little backtrack, but... What the fuck? I'd rather do that than waiting in my car for 30 minutes.
Oh, Jesus.
In this kind of weather?
In the van?
Oh, God. It's like I'm driving a Harley. People look at me like I'm obnoxious like a Harley driver. So then
I think that might be the pentagrams on the side.
That is. Well, no, it's a combination. And every once in a while, I'll be cruising like 25 across the bridge in Brownsville, and someone will be walking, and I'll give them a boom. When it scares them, too, when I'm like right beside them, and I'm just idling, and then I'll go... Yeah.
Do they ever think you just want to race?
Maybe. They start running.
And then they go...
No, I was going to take it out on the Stand By Me days coming up on Wednesday. Why would they have it in the middle of the fucking week? They're having Stand By Me Day Skyping with key people from the movie. And I don't know if it's going to be actors or if it's going to be like... He was the key grip on the third crew.
Will Wheaton's all into that blog. And,
yeah.
And
he's been all over the place.
Fans.
Isn't he on that Sullivan and Son?
I don't know.
Because you mentioned that on the podcast just Well, it's been a week. Thank you for listening. We're back now, but we were gone for a little while.
I mentioned Sullivan and Son.
You did. You were talking about the dad from Blossom.
Oh, Ted Wass.
He directed, I found out, 2 episodes of Undateable out of the 13, and he had also directed, you said, Sullivan and Son. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that Will Wheaton was on At Midnight last week, and I might be wrong. You may be crazy.
I would believe it, because he goes on podcasts and stuff in L.A., and that's kind of the same group of people, I think.
Okay, right on.
You know, the L.A. comedians that are kind of in between.
So I'm
trying to make a name.
I'm going to start some rumors right now. If anyone's listening,
right.
On Wednesday at Stand By Me Day, not only will Sam Elliott be there, who wasn't even in the movie, but he'll be there, as well as Kiefer Sutherland will be appearing live in Brownsville.
Which he's gonna pull switchblades on people.
He is, and I'm gonna reenact that. I'm gonna reenact that scene in front of the Brownsville Saloon, which, by the way, via Facebook, I've seen a thread of comments that. Our friend Josh Charay is somewhat interested in buying the Brownsville Saloon.
Uh-huh.
What? Well, if you can do it, Josh, and you can listen to me and you're hearing me right now, you should, because the owner right now is a bitch. And that's why the whole conversation got started, because I posted a thing on Facebook about the owner being despicable, because she is.
Sorry, Miss, the owner of?
The Brownsville Saloon.
Okay, yeah.
Natalie,
all right.
She's just a... She's a C-U-N-T word.
Uh-huh.
And so people are going, well, that's a great little bar. Too bad someone couldn't buy it. And then I said, oh, I don't think it's for sale. And then someone else said, oh, it's for sale. And then Josh said, "How? Well, really? Well, I've been wanting to buy a bar." Which is, I guess anybody can buy a bar if you have credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's
you got to have a plan.
It's a big undertaking.
You gotta lay out a plan if you're looking for money from people.
And even if you don't? Usually, small town businesses, you get about 2-year run.
Mm-hmm.
And if it works, it works. And if it don't, you're done.
Yep.
That sucks, dude. That sucks so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah. Stand By Me Day. It's this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You should come out to Brownsville.
So how much is the bar?
I couldn't find out. Someone told me a couple months ago that it was such a ridiculous price because she didn't really want to sell it, but she put it. Like $2 million or some stupid shit like that.
It'd be forever before you saw $2 million come through Brownsville, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you'd never. No one had ever spent. And if you look at whatever, like, I'm not into buying. I haven't ever bought any businesses or figured out how much businesses are worth. But I did see that one episode of Breaking Bad when Walter's wife went in there and told that owner of the car wash, "Look, I know how much money you make. You make this much revenue.
That's what you got to do.
You spend this much money. This is how much your property value is. This is how much your taxes are. This is how much your business is worth. I'll offer you that much."
Yep, that's a smart person.
Yeah, and then they're like, "What?"
Yeah.
Like, well, I'm not going to do that. I charge you $2 million.
Nobody's going to loan you $2 million to buy a bar if only $100,000 comes through a year.
Yeah. And then when that happens, you just hire some people like Bill Burr and Lavelle, whatever his name is, to make up a bunch of fucking fake things. Remember Bill Burr? He came on there and said, "Hey, your shit's all fucked up. It's going to cost you $250,000 just to get it fixed. You got all these things, these permits you need, and all this." And then they'll sell for the price. You know, I just found out today, change the subject right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
You probably knew. I guess I didn't, because I know. I also, earlier, before I found out this, I found out that the proper pronunciation of George Takei is George Takei. I thought it was George Takei.
George Takei.
Did you know George Takei is
gay?
Didn't,
yeah.
I didn't know that till just now.
What? He's been the spokesman for gay people for fucking ever, man.
I think gay people are going to hate me now.
He's been openly gay since, like, 1930.
Even the 60s. Well, I was just reading this article saying how he can't stand William Shatner.
Oh, yeah. That's been a longstanding feud.
Yeah, and he was telling Bill Maher about it recently, and then he said... It switched topics about gay rights and that the whole crew of Star Trek knew in the late 60s that he was gay. And he said, well, not everyone. It went right over Shatner's head, he said, laughing. And Said, it sucks to be Canadian clueless, huh? I didn't know they hated each other so much, and I didn't know that George Takei was gay.
Yeah, wow, that is crazy, dude.
I know, I've
Have you never seen an interview with him and said, man, that guy kind of sounds gay?
Well,
and
he's Asian.
Always says...
He's Asian.
He always says that one catchphrase, too. Oh, my.
I just thought he was Gaysian, I guess.
I mean, was
oh
that...
Oh, my.
Was that his...
How do you think they came up with that Star Trek thing anyway? That's two in the pink and one in the pink and one in your stink. So sorry, all you gay listeners. I know we have a lot. I love gay people. I have nothing against you. But I don't study your culture, and I didn't know that it was pronounced decay. And when I told my daughter...
gay.
Now I always know that because she said, no way, it's Takai. And I said, why? And she said, because it ends with an I. And I said, this is rhyming like crazy. And then I said, it's Takei. Didn't you know he's gay? And she said, no way. And I said, hey, I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I'm crazy.
He always, every time I see him, he was on Celebrity Apprentice.
Ah.
But I've seen him in other interviews, and he always makes fucking jokes about, like, admiring men and stuff like that.
Right.
So, it's kind of funny. I got a news story here for you.
What you got?
Remember Andre Johnson? Isn't he Andre 3000?
The guy who's playing Hendrix?
From Wu-Tang Clan.
No, Andre 3000 is from Outkast.
Okay, so the Wu-Tang Clan.
Andre Johnson?
Yeah, he cut off his Johnson. Remember that?
Oh, and he tried to kill himself? But yeah. He didn't die?
Yeah.
Now he's just dickless?
Well, he came out with his statement about it.
Well, cool. I kind of didn't hear anything more about that, and I kind of forgot about it because that's not something a guy likes to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, remember that guy that cut his dick off and jumped off a building?
Yep.
Wu-Tang. That's okay.
This is what I cut it off because that was the root of all my problems.
Root? Some people call it roots.
My solution to the problem was the realization that sex is for mortals and I am a god. Those kinds of activities got me in trouble, and I came here to be a god.
That's his statement?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and then he said that he'd been reading about monks and vasectomies at the time.
What?
And admits he was on drugs, too, but I was in complete control. I didn't want to kill myself. Yep, they couldn't reattach the member. And then he said, but it still gets hard, the little bit that I got. I still got some penis that works. I definitely still get extremely aroused if I see beautiful women. I wasn't having that much sex up to that point. Anyway, my days of reproducing are over, but now I'm a reborn man.
So there must be the head that got cut off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he just got a stump dick?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then he goes... Then he talked about why I jumped. He says, that was just my response to the demons. They were doing their best to get me, but being alive solidified my thoughts. I'm alive, penis or no penis.
Or half penis.
The truth is, to be told, I love comedy. I'm going to do stand-up along with making music now.
Good, good for you, man. Takes a lot of balls and a half a dick to do stand-up.
Yeah, it does.
But, you know, I talked with my wife about it before, and I'm sure other people have had conversations about it, whether it's a myth or truth, that black people have just huge penises in comparison, and Asian people have small ones. So, like, if a dude that has a huge, doubly long penis, and he cuts a half of it off, he's still got a half regular-sized penis with no head. He's like the headless dick.
Now, I'm going to explore a thought here about the if you cut off your penis, right?
I'm never going to do that. But
I know, but imagine.
I'm trying.
Or let's go visualizations.
Oh, my God.
Now, do you think he cut it off when it was erect or when it was soft? Because if he was mad to cut it off because he was getting aroused, it was probably aroused at the time, right?
You would probably have to hack it off with like a fucking cleaver or like just brutally saw through it or...
But
if
it was
hard, I'm
but
saying.
If it was soft, it would take a lot of extra sawing because it is all soft.
How many people have already turned off their podcast player? Because women are going, yeah, how's that feel? You fucking cut half your dick off. Now what do you feel like? You less of a man? No, I don't know. Maybe you could Google that because I don't want to hear that anymore. But anyway, before we get any further, I would like to remind you all that, yes, we did mention for a second that we were back, but we were gone for a while. I did the country fair, and then this happened, and then that happened, and then just shit happens, you know?
Shit happens.
Hans even texted me and said, hey, not sure what your schedule was. He doesn't care. He's happy enough with the old stuff. But so, yeah, I went to the country fair, and I got a little bit of a report. Did talk about taking acid. Did not take acid.
Oh, you didn't?
Nope, I still
mushrooms?
Have
mushrooms?
Nope, I still have the acid. We didn't take it. My wife was a little afraid she was maybe going to have a panic attack if she did, because it's been a long time, and when she used to take acid, she didn't have anxiety. So that'd be the last thing she wanted to be doing, is having an anxiety attack when you're on acid and you can't stop frying.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't take it. We did smoke a lot of weed. I was going to take it on Sunday with my friend Pierre, but he had to work, and I didn't really even bring it up to him. I kind of did in a conversation, I think, but not like, hey, dude, do you want to take acid? He had to work Monday, so you don't take acid on Sunday when you got to work Monday.
Nope.
I mean, maybe when you're younger, you're thinking, hey, can I take this hit of acid?
Yeah.
And be okay for work tomorrow? When my friend
or
Jason Eifler would say,
can I take this acid at work and be okay?
Yeah. And then my friend and local comedian Jason Eifler said, now that we're older, it's more like, can I eat this power bar and be okay for work tomorrow?
No.
But no, I just did a lot of pot smoking and a lot of trail walking.
Uh-huh.
And now their big thing this year at the Oregon Country Fair between midnight and 6 is to shut down all amplified music.
Oh, wow. So you had to go out and, like,
I had to shut
the ghetto blob box?
Yeah, I guess, blaster. Yeah, but they're mostly talking, like, bands with amps or, like, even little amps. Like, I had to shut some people. It was about 3:30 in the morning, and they just had a little tiny, like, a 30-watt Vox amplifier.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
With an acoustic guitar plugged in and one microphone, and they were just singing, like, folky songs, and there was about 10 people singing along. But see, this is In the Paths, where the public roams during the fair, which is the 8, for anybody you guys listening knows what that's what you call it, because it's a figure 8 trail. And so all the people who run the booths, they basically have to camp and sleep in their booths.
Mm-hmm.
Which is on the trails there.
Yeah.
And they work 12 to 14 hours a day, and then this is their only time to sleep. So as a courtesy to those people who make the fair what it is, the council had decided that all amplified music. So they asked us to go over to this one place, which was in my area, and they said, hey, could you tell these guys we had a report of some amplified music? I walked over to them with me and Pierre, and as soon as we get up there, they try to hand me the microphone. Hey, you want to sing? And I was like, I really do want to sing. But, unfortunately, I'm kind of like the fun police right now, and I'm going to have to ask you guys to shut that off. I don't want to, but I'm going to. And they're like, oh, it's okay. We were wondering how long it was going to be before somebody came and told us to shut it off. And they're mm-hmm. like, we only got to the second chorus. Could we finish our song? And I was like, sure, finish the song. And so that was basically the only action that I had to take all weekend.
Well, that's what happens when cool people around.
Yeah. They weren't confrontational about. I mean, there was a couple, like, overly intoxicated people that had to be dealt with or taken to the medical facility because they were, like, falling over and throwing up and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Which but nobody falling, jumping into the shit box or
oh,
anything
no,
like that.
Didn't have nothing like that, no. The only thing that I didn't like about it was one of our crew members, Michael Holder, calling you out, buddy. I know you don't listen to this, but if you did, you deserve to hear this. He's an overzealous douchebag. I don't like him. He tries to. I'm going to be cutting cords tonight. He's just. He comes
cutting
in
cords.
Late for anybody with amplified music. He was threatening to cut the cords. He had wire cutters. And a couple years ago, I think we talked about it. The mobile disco cart.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this four-wheel mobile that has like a disco ball
yeah.
and lights and a self-contained sound system. And that was cool for a while, but now they're cracking down. And the disco cart doesn't even come around anymore. But when it was around, he's like, I got my wire cutters. I'm fucking cutting their shit. And I was like, dude, that's not cool. Those are expensive wires and shit. And they're not just like regular wires that you can splice back together. Ask them nicely. And if they don't, then tell someone else. You don't have to fucking be a dick. And so he's like, yep, I'm cutting wires. And then he's like, read this, Lodestone. And Lodestone, I don't know if you've ever met him.
Sure.
He's that older guy. And he's really smart. And he really prides himself on knowing a lot of information. And he's very learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, read this. And then Lodestone starts to read it. And then the guy starts pointing at it. Like, oh. And he's like, move your hand. And then he's like, what are you, illiterate? And Lodestone, like, I thought they were going to get in a fight. So, yeah, that's just to anybody who wants to be on our crew, you can't be an overzealous douchebag.
Hmm.
And that's what he is. He comes in two days late.
You can't be power hungry when you're in a position of power.
And he comes in 2 days late asking to borrow a fucking vehicle pass to not sneak in because he's supposed to be there, but the vehicle passes are few and coveted.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, Lodestone basically bends over backwards for this dude, and he's just an idiot. But that was my only downfall. I found a cool jester hat and a cool strap-on headlamp, and I found some weed and some other stuff. And
did you get out during the day at all?
I did a little bit, but it was so hot and so crowded that we'd get out there planning to like look at some stuff and check out some people, and we'd
get
some,
really when it's
we'd
all
get
crowded
some food
out.
And then we'd be like, "Fuck, this is shitty. It's like 100 degrees and it's all dusty." But Reggie Watts was out there.
Oh wow!
My stepdaughter Dakota got the high five.
Uh-huh.
She didn't like make a scene. She's
did
like,
call him,
she's like, "Reggie," and high-fived him.
Did you call him Charlie or whatever he is?
She goes, "I was going to call him Ryan."
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Ryan Watts. But I'm pretty sure that I caught the tail end. He had a secret show at like 1 o'clock in the morning, just in the dark on the trails.
Oh, wow.
And I heard it, and there was a huge crowd of people for it. I tried to shine the light, but I couldn't see him. And if it wasn't Reggie Watts, it was someone sounding just like him, doing that Bobby McFerrin kind of thing, like. Yep, just like that. So that was the only famous person I heard of being out there was old Reggie Watts.
What was the attendance, do you know?
I heard a rumor that there was over 60,000 people on Saturday, but I didn't get a confirmation on that.
That's huge.
Yeah. I think for the whole, like if they added the 3 days up, it was definitely over 100,000.
Wow.
But some people came every day. You know,
so nobody was busted for smoking weed?
No, there was...
Selling weed?
No, not that I know of. One person did OD, I read in the paper. On drug
weed?
Overdose. Yeah, they died of too much weed. I found out... this is a side note, but I just found out that in order to overdose on weed, you'd have to smoke 100 ounces in 15 minutes.
Oh, I could do that.
You think so?
Yeah.
You'd die.
100 ounces. I'll go 99 ounces.
In 15 minutes?
I'll go 99 ounces in 16 minutes.
Dude, I couldn't even do the Django challenge, which was fucking 56 grams in 3 hours. That's not even 2 ounces.
So 100 ounces, you said, or 100 pounds?
100 ounces in 15 minutes. That's fucking possible. You couldn't even eat that much.
That's 6 pounds.
That's a shitload of weed. Is what that
six,
is.
Just over 6 pounds.
No, but it was outside of the fairgrounds. There's some places on the road where people like will rent out their lawn that's on the road that goes right to the fair. Off-site camping, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, they didn't say what kind of drugs it was, but a lady who was in her 40s or early 50s died of an apparent drug overdose. But there was some tree climbers at night that we asked. We heard some branches cracking. Me and Pierre, we were walking through, and we heard crack, cracking, and we're like, "Oh, shit, are the trees falling on us? Look up." Oh, there's a girl climbing a tree. We're like, "Hi." And she's like, "Hi." And we're like, "Are you safe?" And she said, "Yep." We're like, "Are you happy?" And she's like, "Yep." We're like, "All right." You know, she wasn't suicidal or having a bad time. And she was just climbing. She was way up there. She wasn't too wasted. So, you know, we're not that much of fun police. We just...
No. Well, you know, you got to consider fun of everybody.
We did have some thunder and lightning and a little rain on Sunday morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't get wet at all, but I mean, it did rain. I mean, we have our camper, so it was cool. But it was kind of cool to wake up at like noon to... I was like, what the fuck is going on? It was just sunny and 90 yesterday, and now it's like...
There was the one... now imagine if you took a 5-pound bag of sugar, right?
I just spilled one of those in the back of my van the other day.
Whoa, that's nasty, dude.
I'm surprised there weren't ants all over it because it took me like 5 days before I vacuumed it up.
Wow.
We're coming from the grocery store. Sorry to interrupt
your
fucking story. 5-pound bag of fucking sugar from the store, and then I guess we went around a corner or something, and it fell onto the bottle jack.
Oh, yeah.
Which has sharp metal edges.
Mm-hmm.
At least 4 pounds of sugar. I left it for like 5 days because I didn't have time for that shit. But anyway.
I know.
Okay, you take a 5-pound bag of sugar.
That's 80 ounces, right?
5 pounds?
So if you took...
No, it's four. Yeah, okay, go
ahead. If you took weed in that kind of form and just slapped 5 pounds of like weed shake into that bag, right?
Just like ground powder weed.
Now put that into a coffee can because that's about the right size, right? just the whole bag into the coffee can. Now, find a way to contain the smoke from that into, like, one single, like, a vacuum hose.
80 grams?
No, 80 ounces. Five, yeah, because you got 5 pounds.
Okay.
And 80 grams, or 80 ounces, you're not going to overdose. Because you need 115 minutes. And then just burn that sack as quick as you can. Just inhale it all through that vacuum tube and see how you feel.
I think you're onto something. If you can figure out how to do it, I think we could do it.
I know. That'd be awesome. I don't think I'd make it, though, because my lungs just can't do that anymore.
I want to, and I always say this, or not always, but at least once I've said it, that when I go to the fair, I want to keep track of how much weed I smoke, because I swear to God, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. But we got about 20 people in our camp, and like 16 of them smoke weed, and everybody's got weed. So we're always smoking bowls, blunts, bong hits. That's three things.
What are some? Now, there's not really smoking in the open, is there?
Well, we're back in a camp. No, we're in our camp.
Oh, in the camp, sure. But, I mean, when you're on walking the 8 during the day.
That's the thing. Apparently, they send in the undercover officers to catch security officers, i.e. myself,
letting people smoke.
Condoning. Like, if they want to see...
Well, the only thing that you could do would be to, like, go up and say, I'm all right with you smoking that. Otherwise...
No, like, if they see you see them,
yeah, they,
obviously... And
maybe
then,
you didn't see them.
And then turn around and go, I didn't see you. But, you know, that's what they preach to us at the meetings, is to don't condone. And if it's in the daytime...
Don't look at them. That's what I do. Just don't make eye contact with anyone smoking.
Go up to them and make them dump it out, stamp it out with your foot. You don't necessarily have to search them and say you got any more. You can say you got any more. They want you to make them dump out everything they have. It's illegal drugs, whatever.
The cops do? Or the festival, they're just covering their ass.
Yeah, they don't really want us to do that, but it's in the want us to
they
do.
They have to say it.
In parentheses, or in
they
air
have
quotes.
To say it.
This is what we want you to do. And so at night, it's not as bad, but in the daytime, you at least got to say, kind of under your breath, hey, if you want to smoke weed, make sure and go off the path where no one's going to see you.
Mm-hmm. You can't just like be walking the path and then go, oh, here's a piece of grass.
But now in the daytime, when I wasn't working security, we went out and got some food and watched a little bit of a Necco something in the...
Necco Wafers.
Necco Wafers in the New Americans or something, some band that's pretty popular that I'd never heard of. They were playing, and I wasn't on duty. And there were people smoking bowls all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And it was big deal. Fucking big deal. Smoke bowls.
I know.
At least they're not... Well,
the most that's going to happen is someone's going to say, hey, you want to move or put that out.
Yeah.
And then,
we'd even told them that at night. Like, we're like, hey, you guys see that tower right there? That's just like 50 feet. That's the lighthouse watchtower where the security lead is. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking to you right now because he told me to tell you. And next time he wants me to, like, make you leave. So
mm-hmm.
Don't do that. And that won't make me be a dick. If you meet me at Chelamella Meadow, maybe we can fucking smoke a bowl. But right now... You can't be smoking it right here because there's overzealous dickheads like fucking Michael Holder, Michael J. Holder. So we call him Michael J. Fox Holder. And he and my wife fucking shut him down because he came in there talking shit. You guys don't even care about your job. Fucking blah, 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 and this and that. And everybody's just kind of like looking down and not saying anything because they all wanted to say, fuck you. And he's Dana comes out of the camper and goes, well, if you know so much about everything, Michael Holder, she goes, why aren't you the crew leader? And everybody, it was just like dead silence. He stopped, turns around, looks over his shoulder about 5 seconds later, because as you can tell, he's just like scrambling for something to mm-hmm. say. He's like, I don't want to be in charge of all these fucking retards. I don't want to have to give out shirts and shit like that.
mm-hmm.
And then later he left and everybody's like, Dana, thank you so much for saying what no one else had the balls to say. And she's like, I don't give a fuck. She goes, that guy's going to come in here and act like that to my family and my crew and act like he comes in 2 days late and fucking says that shit. She goes, no, that ain't happening. I was like, I guess that's why we're married, because I won't say shit to people. I'll sit there and think to myself, that guy's a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wasn't such a dick, maybe he wouldn't be such a dick.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm not going to say, I'll say, yeah, whatever. You know, I'm just passive. I don't want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they wouldn't fight me if I just said what I was thinking, but 9 times out of 10, someone's going to go, you got a problem?
I'm fucking trying to do my job here, and you guys are fucking letting people do shit. We're going to lose our land.
That's my imitation of Michael J. Holder. Only guy on the crew I don't like. I'd like to give a shout-out to Lodestone, Sean Stutz, Pierre Mach 1.
What is the... Did you see any crazy smoking apparatus? Was anybody doing gravity bongs or gas masks or making any apple bongs? Or?
No, there was cool tree... There's still tree pipes everywhere.
Really?
And they have these wooden... fences that are along the Long Tom River so you don't fall in.
Uh-huh.
And they're kind of those crossed pieces of wood with woods going across this way, but they're pretty much all poles.
Uh-huh.
Well, someone made a pipe out of that, and we walked by, and this chick, they just carve out a thing and then drill through it and fucking make a thing on the side. And we walked by, it was 3 a.m. We pretended we didn't see her. She was sucking on the top of the fence post, lighting the bottom of it because it's at an angle, at a 45-degree angle down this fence post because they're crisscrossed applesauce. And she's just fucking smoking this fence post. And, big old pile of smoke. Because there's a lot of tree pipes, but fucking assholes come along and pour cement and shit in them because they don't want... We're going to burn down our fucking fair. Which is possibly true, I guess, if you're smoking through a tree.
Yeah, I guess.
It could, embers could... Linger, smolder.
I guess, but there's always going to be somebody there.
During that time, that's true. Well, the dragon, which was the main tower and the main admissions place, burnt down, dude.
Really?
And I thought it was an accident, but turns out it might have been an inside job. Because the new dragon is so fucking badass, you'd think that whoever was fucking going to build the new one just said, fuck, burn that old one, it's a piece of shit.
Yep.
But there's lots of new stuff. The new photo booth is cool. Oh, I'd like to finish my list. Brittany, full heart. You're shitting me, Brittany. She was back on the crew. She's been on the crew for 8 years now, I think, maybe 9. Nick Barnhouse, Eli, and Rusty, and Elena, and her separated husband, which was weird because they were in the same tent and on the same camp, but they're married but separated, but they were together. Dave and Gabe, and old Tugboat. He's a dick, but whatever. He's on our crew. And then we had Baby Cakes and Watson and Natalie and Rosie and Robin and Sammy. Those were the girl, the SOs in the camp. And the teens were Dakota, Grace, Ashton, and Devin. Grace Wambacher came out with us and camped with us all weekend. That was kind of cool. And Devin was a black kid. I think he was half black because his mom was white. But anyway, we sat and smoked some weed for a while. He was probably 18, 19, maybe 20. Me and him and his buddies were smoking weed. I was joking around with them. I get up and I walk away, and then I did something with my leg, and then he goes, "Oh, shit, man." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, I knew you from somewhere. He's like, "I saw you do comedy at Eugene Celebration last year, and you were funny as fuck." I was like, "Thanks, bro." He's like, "As soon as I saw your leg, I remembered you were doing all these leg shit tricks and saying that you don't like Bruce Springsteen because you weren't born to run."
Or Bruce Hornsby.
I love Bruce Hornsby. Bruce Springsteen can fuck off.
Did you know Tracy Morgan got out of rehab?
Oh, good. His leg's not paralyzed or cut off? So he's home, or is he just out of ICU?
No, he's out of rehab. It's been months. He's recovering at home now.
Rehab, though, just for his leg, not for drugs, right?
Yeah, he's going to home with his aggressive outpatient program.
Oh, why's he got to be so aggressive?
Tracy asked me to pass along his sincerest gratitude to everyone who has helped him get to this point. He would also appreciate some privacy during this crucial point in his recovery.
Fucking no shit. He's like, "Thanks, everybody, but leave me the fuck alone."
You know what he's doing? He's suing Walmart.
He should. He's probably going to have his whole new comedy special just be Walmart's fucking retards. That drivers fall asleep. When
Dude, if they're going to give him money, they're going to make him never say anything bad about Walmart again in the contract.
Yeah, what about truck drivers? Can he rip on truck drivers and fall asleep?
He can sing that song, Truck Driving Man.
Truck driver divorce is really sad. And if you can't tell, that's Frank Zappa song. It's about Tracy Morgan.
Did
we're
you hear
glad.
About those 8th graders that got signed to Sony, that heavy metal band?
Dude, I did. I only saw like a 1 minute video, and it was just like a heavy metal breakdown part where they're like, junk, 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 junk.
They were just in the right place at the right time.
1.7 million? What the fuck, dude? They're like 12 and 13. I didn't hear any part of the video where they were singing.
Well, that's because they didn't sing until their voices changed.
So they don't they have vocals
they've
now?
They've just only recently begun singing, I think.
Okay, well, they weren't nothing really spectacular besides the fact that they were just little kids.
Yeah.
But they played live in Times Square or something?
Uh-huh. Well, see, what happened was...
What was it?
Initially, they skipped the vocals because...
because that's how they sang?
Their voice changed.
Oh. But are they, like, singing? I wonder if they're singing or if they're, like...
I don't know. They all sing now, but before they just didn't sing. But they were discovered by Steve Jordan. You know who that guy is?
Is that Michael's brother?
Nope. It's a drummer from Eric Clapton's drummer.
What?
Eric Clapton's drummer, Steve Jordan, in Washington Square Park.
Oh, is he a black? Okay. You know who he used to play for?
Huh?
The Blues Brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he saw them in Washington Square Park. And next thing you know, he introduced them to Alan Sachs, who was the producer and co-creator of Welcome Back, Kotter.
Oh!
And he's now their manager, with their mom serving as co-managers. And now they're all over the place. So it still makes that old story true. Right place, right time.
Yeah, and if you're 12 and you can play metal.
And Eric Clapton's coming... drummer coming to your show.
What?
Then,
oh yeah, yeah.
Then you can shit out a brick of money.
That's right. And speaking of, what were we talking about?
Eighth graders and metal.
Oh, you said Welcome Back, Kotter. Didn't
yeah,
you? Dude. Guess who was the host of Gotham Comedy Live?
John Tesh.
Gabe Kaplan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's like, his part of his thing was like he was doing stand-up, which is weird, because I don't think he really ever did stand-up, but maybe he did.
That's when he did his story joke at the end of every episode. That was basically...
to his wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of like a comedy.
Maybe that's how he got the gig. But anyway, so he's like, I know, you guys are thinking to yourself, I recognize you from somewhere, but I don't know where. He's like, because I get that all the time. He's like, and then one person in the audience is like, welcome back, Otter. And he's like, yeah. He goes, and then once people realize, the older people know who I am, and then all the younger people are saying, what's welcome back, Otter? And he goes, and people ask me, I haven't seen you forever. Why? He's like, I don't know. I've been looking for work.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, though. And he did a thing about, I don't know. It was just cool to see. I mean, he's pretty old now. He's like 70 or something like that. But he's pretty funny. Pretty funny for not knowing that he was a stand-up. And
he does say announcing for poker.
He said he thought maybe he could get a job in Vegas, you know, because a lot of older people that are famous from the retro 70s get shows in Vegas. And he goes, so I went to Vegas to a show with my friends. And he goes, and there's a guy had a show of people doing other people. He goes, and there was a guy doing Gabe Kaplan. Well, not doing him.
Oh, okay.
I know. I can see your reaction. No, like impersonation. You know, because that's what Vegas is all about, is doing other people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially prostitutes. You do a prostitute.
Stays in Vegas.
Happens in your house.
Yep.
And so he said, I see this guy, and he's like doing me. Mm-hmm. He's like, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I can do me way better than this guy. So I go up to the guy, and I said, hey, it's me. He's like, who are you? He's like, I'm that guy. I'm
the guy here doing.
I'm Gabe Kaplan. No, he goes, he's talking to the guy who booked the show, not the guy who's doing him.
Okay.
He's like, I could do me way better than that guy's doing me. And he's like, well, let me see you do you. He's like, I'm doing me now. And he's like, you're not doing you very good, though. He's like, this guy was doing you way better than you were doing you just now. So he does this bit, which is fucking gets hilarious, more funny as he goes along. It's kind of old school, like who's on first?
Yeah.
I'm doing you, he's doing me. And then he's like, and so then something like it ended up like his wife left him for that guy. He goes, and then the guy that was doing me now is doing my wife. Which that's not verbatim, but it was good, though. If you have a chance to check out that Gotham Comedy Live, there's good stuff on there.
Right on. is better than Byron Allen's Comics Unleashed.
Oh, fucking way.
Dude, I get so sick when that like ends up coming on and I didn't change the channel.
Lately, they have really good old school hosts, like they have Jimmy Walker.
Yeah, but they always have Walker. They always have the biggest
Dynamite.
The biggest, blackest women you can find on, and right? And then they it's so softball form, like, do you have any family? Oh, I got family. Let me tell you my bit about family. Have you ever been to a baseball game? Oh, let me go into my bit about baseball games.
He's like, all right. He goes, so, freaking Sinbad, what do you think about airline food?
Oh, let me tell you about airline food. I'm so sick of airline food. And it's like, so if they caught the question that he asked them in a way that didn't look like they were just ramping up to do their bit,
yeah,
I mean, at least accept it a little more naturally. Yeah, I've been on a couple airlines.
No, let me tell you about my wife. Yeah, true that.
And then they all just laugh at each other, and then you know they all go back and go, man, I get so tired of doing these where you just go out and you tell your bits on a couch.
Yeah. Is that the fucking future of stand-up, is sit down on a couch and talk to some fucking guy who's washed up that's not really a comedian?
Let me do one bit so hopefully I can entice some people to watch two bits.
Okay, speaking of Byron Allen, he's a black dude. He tries to be a comic. Now, it was NBC that gave the pressure to Saturday Night Live that they didn't have a black female cast
and
character.
So they tried to get Byron Allen.
Yeah, and he wasn't available.
A female.
Yeah, and so they got some other chick. But no, here's my point. NBC, also the home of Last Comic Standing. The top eight people, how many are black?
Nine.
Like five. Nine out of eight? Mm-hmm. No, five out of eight.
Well, you got J.B. Smoove.
Well, he's the host. That don't count. But you know who I think I'm going to call it right now?
Roseanne.
Nope.
I've been calling it the whole time. I'm still going to call it.
It sounds almost like that. Rhymes with it. Rodman.
Roadman.
Rodman.
Rodman.
Dude, Rodman's fucking funny. I don't care what he can say stuff. Like, I try to do him like I do people. It don't even matter what he's saying, because he talks so funny that no matter what he's saying, it's fucking funny. But he got to go on the Ellen show and do his thing with Ellen, and he won that challenge. And then he got to do Universal Studios tour manager, tour guide, and tell jokes. And so, I don't know. I think he's going to go. I think I'm calling Rodman for winner.
All right.
It's all black people, though, now, pretty much. I mean,
what about that one guy?
Oh, he's still on there.
Okay.
Yeah. He's not black, definitely.
But what kind of show would he do, though, if they gave him a show?
It would be really dorky. I thought he was gay, but now he's been talking about his girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. He's got some good bits, though.
Who do you think's best suited for a television program?
I'd say Rodman, for sure.
The obligatory is you're just going to be a family, so the winner's going to be a dad or a mom. They're going to have three kids, and they'll probably live next to their parents.
That's the thing about Rodman. He has a wife and kids, and he goes, they love watching Ellen. If I can get on Ellen, more brownie points for me at the house. Maybe she'd make me a sandwich or something. You know? So I could see him having a family base, like a George Lopez type, or Ray Romano show or something like that. But Joe Machi, the whiny guy, I don't know. Dude, him and this other guy, he's got a weird name. I can't remember it, though. But they did a battle-off thing on the last episode, and it was a dead heat. They did 5 minutes, tie. The judges couldn't decide. They did 2 minutes, judges couldn't decide. Then they did one joke. One joke. This is down to one joke. You tell a joke, you tell a joke, then we'll decide. He had a joke about Thomas Jefferson and something about time travel. And the president being black, and dude, it built, and it's just his style is different, but it's really good. So yeah, the other guy went home.
You ever watch a movie?
I've watched a movie.
All right, and then before they release a movie, they release a trailer, right?
Yeah, and that's the same thing that the actors reside in while they're filming the movie, which is weird. Mm-hmm.
And before they come out with the trailer, they release a teaser trailer, right?
Yes.
Right, and so there's this new movie that's coming out in 2020.
Wow, that's an early trailer.
This isn't the trailer.
Oh.
Okay, this is only a teaser trailer.
Okay.
72 minutes long.
All right.
The teaser trailer.
What? How long is the fucking movie?
A whole month.
The movie is a month.
A movie is a month.
That's not a real movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ambiance is what it's called by Swedish director Anders Weberg. Will be a full 720-hour movie.
I don't know.
To be screened only once, starting on New Year's Eve in the year 2020 on every continent simultaneously and then destroyed.
You know what that's right? What that reminds me of being akin to?
Huh.
The one copy of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Or we're just going to make this and then we're going to destroy it so no one can ever hear it.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck are people coming to?
This is going
to
be his last movie. But the teaser you can watch now on Vimeo is 72 minutes long, which is like a normal movie. The trailer, the short trailer.
60 minutes?
No, the short trailer. This is the teaser. And then the short trailer will come out in 2 years. It'll be 7 hours and 20 minutes long.
A 7 hour trailer?
That's the short trailer. The full trailer comes out in 2018 and will be 72 hours long.
This is, dude, no one is going to watch that. You couldn't even watch it.
The movie is about an abstract non-linear narrative summary of the artist's time spent with the moving image. And it's expected to set the record as the longest film ever made. And you can only watch the teaser trailer until July 20th.
You know what started all this fucking nonsense?
Hmm.
That 24-hour death metal song.
No,
it was a 24-hour doom song, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Bow. Hey, did you watch 24 no. again? It's done. I heard people
complaining. I saw that the last episode was on the other day. There's only 10 episodes.
I saw some friends on Facebook complaining, I can't believe it's over. But they left it so open-ended that you know they're going to make a movie or he's coming back.
Of course they are.
Dude, how long is Keanu Reeves? Kiefer Sutherland's going to be in Brownsville on Wednesday, so I don't see how they can even...
24 hours in Brownsville.
That's right.
You should do a 24 themed party the next day, and people will wonder, what's that have to do
with Brownsville?
That'd
be on the 24th, too.
Oh!
Because Stand By Me Day is on the 23rd, and then...
And that doesn't make any sense.
Right. What? What doesn't
have
make
it
sense?
In the middle of the week.
I know. Who's going to be able to come? Well, and it's all day. And they're having it at the
Legion.
You got
a pie eating contest too, right?
They should. If they don't, I'm going to be mad. Okay, let's do this before I forget.
Wait a minute. I got a story.
What do you got?
Did you know high doses or small doses of hydrogen sulfide help keep cells healthy and thus help ward off maladies such as dementia, diabetes, and even cancer?
I did not know that.
You know where you can get hydrogen sulfide?
From your butt?
Yep.
No.
Yep.
What?
Sniffing farts is good for you now.
What? That's so awesome that I was right because I was totally just a guess.
Yep. Hydrogen sulfide is produced by farts. It's toxic in large doses, but in smaller ones, it actually can help you.
That's one of those headlines I saw but didn't click on.
Mm-hmm.
Sniffing farts can make you healthier.
Yep, it is naturally produced in the body and could, in fact, be a healthy care hero with significant implications for future therapies for a variety of diseases. So there's fart therapy coming up.
So
in the
here is my suggestion to all you listeners, because everyone knows.
Fastball yourself.
Everybody knows that you don't like smelling other people's farts, right? Just mm-hmm. because. It's gross. But even when you rip out the raunchiest of the raunchy, it's not that bad.
No. Do you think that women feel the same way? Do women?
I wonder if they feel that way about queefs.
I don't know.
Because sometimes those can be really like a different kind of stink. Mm-hmm. It's more like stink with an A.
Mm-hmm.
Like
stank?
Like a past tense stank, mm-hmm. but just she had some fucking stank.
Stank.
Oh, you got some stank on that shit. Don't you ever wash that thing? And that wash was with an R in it, too, because sometimes people say wash. So, Hans, smell your farts all day in your cubicle, and it will help you. What the fuck is that? What is that?
Metal.
That is metal, but where is it coming from? Hardcore. I'm going to turn that off now. That was for you, Hans. I don't know where that came from or why that even happened, but this is what I was trying to do. What's in Hans's CD player? Find out now and we'll find out later. And it's now. the fucking Slayer. Sorry we've been gone, Hans. Thanks to us for having our old episodes up that you can listen to. Today, Hans is listening to a punk band called Conflict.
Ah, Conflict.
The album's called There's No Power Without Control.
Isn't that old school, like 80s?
Oh, fuck yeah. Hans is old school.
They're up there with the UK subs, right? And Crass.
Yeah, I would say so.
And
Overstepping our boundaries by saying that stuff, Hans?
I used to listen to that stuff over at Timothy's house. Him and Jared were always into the 80s punk.
Did they like Conflict?
I think I remember seeing a CD laying around over there. But a lot of times it was mostly just hardcore punk to me. Sometimes English tinged, you know, like the UK subs.
Yeah, that's exactly what these are. They're an English anarcho-punk band originally based in South London.
Mm-hmm.
Formed in 1981. So mm-hmm. You nailed that.
80s political punk.
Yep. That's
which
right.
Which I guess I don't really put those guys in the same thing as Dead Kennedys, but the Dead Kennedys were 80s political punk, right?
Yeah, but they were American.
Yeah.
And you know what else you said? You associated them with Crass.
Mm-hmm.
They were on Crass Records.
Really?
Good job for Dustin. He gets the fucking prize of the day. And Hans gets a prize for listening to some cool old school punk rock. And I actually saw a video on YouTube recently of Mr. Bungle. Mm-hmm. At their high school talent show when Mike Patton was 17 with Trevor Dunn and the other guys who were ultimately in, and they were called Mr. Mungle, which is close to Mr. Mungle. So that prompted me. That was pretty cool. If you guys want to look that up on YouTube, it's called Bister with a B and Mungle with an M, which is Mr. Bungle, spoonerized.
Mr. Mungle,
live talent show. So that prompted me to dig out my copy of California. I've turned off my turntable for a while because I've exhausted my collection until I get down to wanting to listen to something. So I'm back to CDs. I was listening to Mr. Bungle's California. Hans, you should check that out. If you don't listen to it regularly, you should listen to Mr. Bungle's California and tell me what you think of it.
All right, I will.
No, I was talking to Hans, but you can too.
All right. Did you hear North Korea's pissed off at Seth Rogen?
No, but did he make a video or something?
Now, there's a movie called The Interview with him and James Franco, and they play a TV producer and host who land an interview with Kim Jong-un and get hired by the CIA to kill him.
And they do kill him, don't they?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
And the North Korea says it should be regarded as the most undisguised sponsor of terrorism as well as an act of war.
Wow. What do they have to do to answer to that?
I don't know. Seth Rogen said, "People don't usually want to kill me for one of my movies until after they've paid $12 for it." You think he or Jonah Hill wrote that tweet?
Why is Jonah his administrator?
I think they're both the fucking same person, even though I've seen them the same. No, they did that on the James Franco roast. They were making fun of those two. Like, why does Hollywood need two of you?
Yeah, one's enough. Well, because Jonah Hill doesn't have that laugh. Yeah, I can't even do it. You can't either, obviously.
Hey, I have some sports news going to make you wet your knickers.
Okay, then I'm going to wait for birthdays then. You do sports news, knicker.
All right, guess who's coming back to Cleveland?
Coming back to Cleveland, the Cavaliers.
No, they're already there.
LeBron James.
Yep.
Dude, that's old news, but I guess we haven't been on for a week. Now, yeah, I saw a picture of some dude digging in the trash for his Cavs jersey.
That he threw away, what, 2 years, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, he didn't take
I think they pick up the trash.
Yeah, he was
once in 4 years.
He's like, oh, wait, I like the Cavs again. LeBron's back in. Is he like the Michael Jordan of today right now or what?
Yeah.
Is he? Mm-hmm. Is he really?
Well, he was in Cleveland. And then he had that giant press conference that says, "I'm leaving."
But is he really that good?
And then, yeah, well, then he that's the thing. He made it to the finals in Cleveland, but they didn't win. And then he went to Miami, where they won where they made it to the finals four straight times, and he won two rings. And then he said, all right, now I'll come back. Does anyone want to play in Cleveland with me now?
Oh.
Because that's why he left Cleveland, is because nobody wanted to come and play with him in Cleveland.
So now that he's back, I bet he'll do another guest appearance on Hot in Cleveland with Betty White.
Did he do one on before?
No.
Well,
maybe. I'm just.
They always have guests on there. They had Chevy Chase on there.
Chevy? Did you just call him Chevy? If you call him Chevy.
Chevy.
Well, it's okay. You should call him Chevy, but if you call him Chevy, you got to call him Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase.
This is Chevy Chase. This is Sean Connery. And I'm going to be I will be interviewing Shavar Chizes.
I heard he
Cesar Chavez.
He changed his last name to Chasse.
Oh.
Chevy
Chassis.
Chevy Chasse.
I got a Chevy on a Ford chassis.
Dude, he was on there, but I didn't watch it. I just saw that he was a guest show because I watched that channel.
I don't really. Is that TV Land?
Yeah. They got sometimes Ray Romano is the only thing on. I only get basic cable. I don't even get like Sports Center.
Bummer, dude. I mean, that's good. People.
Well, I know, but I mean, most everybody gets Sports Center. If you don't get Sports Center, you're down to the basic of the basic.
That's right, because everybody.
But I get
you
King
know why?
Of Queens and Ray Romano on there.
You know why?
And
because
King of the Hill on King of the Hill. On
all the programming directors for fucking packages for TV viewing think that even the people who don't have a lot of money love sports too.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody loves sports. We've got to put that on the basic channel with the network. Fuck you. I hate you.
Yep.
How'd you know? You saw my finger. Hey, we got some. And don't forget.
I did already forget.
I did too. Oh, he's like a towel head now.
Oh, Cat Stevens.
Yeah. That's right. A good game. That's right. A good game we're playing right now.
All
right.
Next guy. I got this.
He arrived on TV in 78 from another planet.
Oh,
it was a Happy Days spinoff.
Oh, Robin Williams.
Ah, Nanu Nanu. Yep, he's 53 today.
What did he do on Happy Days?
Where he showed up.
He just showed up.
Yeah,
and so he was Mork.
So how is he a spinoff? That makes no sense.
Well, if the character, I guess, showed up there first.
He was on like two episodes. And then all of a sudden he had his own show.
They're just trying him out to see if he could be a TV star.
I'm going to research that for Wednesday's show, and we're going to let you listeners know what Mork was doing in Milwaukee.
All right.
Mork in Milwaukee, because you know where he ended up on Mork and Mindy? He was in Boulder, Colorado, which is weird.
It was a little before. I remember watching Mork, and I remember enjoying it, but I don't remember, like, plot lines or anything beyond he was.
Well, if you watch TV Land, you should be seeing that sometimes, because it's on there.
No, they've had their new show now is, well, on MeTV, which is a different memorable television. They've been having Bosom Buddies now.
Ooh, Bosom Buddies. That's buddies that hang around. Oh, yeah, that's Tom Hanks, right?
And then there's Maude.
Oh, she's so hot. Also, birthday today, local comedian recently had him down here at Denny's, and he's a finalist in the Portland's Funniest Person contest, and he has a podcast called Dan Reads the Bible.
Chris Dan Castle.
Dan Weber. No, how could it be Chris when Dan reads the Bible? Reading the Bible with Dan. That's what it is. I always get confused. So anyway, check out his podcast. It's called Reading the Bible with Dan.
And he reads it?
He does, and then he makes fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a Christian or nothing.
No,
he reads passages and then dissects them, how ridiculous they are and how it can make no sense, basically. I introduced him as that at the Denny's show, and he's like, I kind of really didn't want you to say that in my introduction. I didn't want everybody to hate me as a Christian Bible-making fun of person, but whatever. Because I just kind of took it upon myself to make up my own intros that
night. if he doesn't want you to mention something, he should tell you beforehand.
Kudos to you for saying that. I don't use kudos very much. That's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you really want to stray away from something,
that might be
news,
part of his act.
Maybe. Because
that's funny to say. I didn't want you guys to know that I was a Christian hating Bible making fun of a motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, happy birthday to Cat Stevens, Robin Williams, and Dan Weber.
Yep.
You guys, we got a cake for you. Come on down, and you can pick it up. Wrap it up. I'll take it.
Ramp it up. Did you hear that big news this week about that call?
Which one?
The Comcast call.
Oh, customer service. Another one where I didn't click, but I saw the headline.
But now you've had this call go. The whole thing was that
I could hate customers.
The guy called to cancel his Comcast.
Yep.
And they said, "Why do you want to cancel?"
Because I don't like your service.
And they wouldn't cancel a service until they had a satisfied answer, and they kept just like
it's like your Facebook, dude. Why don't you just deactivate it for a little bit? Oh. Because I don't want to have a Facebook anymore. You sure you don't want to be in contact with all your
exactly.
friends?
And it was like an 8-minute call of the guy just trying to say, I just want to cancel my thing.
And then he ended up keeping it, right?
No, and then the other guy, the guy wouldn't let him cancel his account. Was the, you know, and I'm sure you've been in those calls before with Comcast.
I think
where
it only took me 4 minutes or five maybe to cancel my DirecTV.
Mm-hmm. They don't want you to fucking cancel.
No, it was back in the day, Dish Network, and then I went to DirecTV, and then they fucked me, so I fucked them, and now they took me to credits, and I never paid, so fuck them. Mm-hmm. But no, I called Dish Network because I had some problems, and then they sent some. They said, okay, we can send someone out to fix it, because I was like, this is bullshit. I'm paying this amount. I should have service. And then when they sent them out, they tried to send me a bill for the service guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no.
Comcast will do that, too, if they find that it's not with their equipment.
They said, hey, we told you we're sending a guy out. I go, yeah, you should send a guy out and not charge me because I'm already paying for my shit and your shit's supposed to be working. And then they wouldn't resolve the charges. So I said, look, been a good customer for 4 years, but I'd like to quit. And they're like, but why? Okay, let me transfer you to this other person who's a resolution. He's a resolution specialist.
Exactly. And that's the same thing that this guy was talking to. And yeah, it was like, I didn't listen to it because I've listened to that on numerous occasions myself. On more than that, on, you know, it happens with everything.
And that's funny because after DirecTV fucked me over and I didn't like them, then I went back to Dish, and they were super stoked to have me back. Because
they
like,
are. They resolved it.
Yeah, it took 3 years, but we resolved it. We're glad you finally came crawling back. Now here's an overdraft fee. No. Just kidding.
Now here it's you in a 4-year contract with no ability to ever change anything. Oh, a new TV station comes out, and you want that? Well, it's going to cost you an extra $200 a month.
And then we've been watching to pay attention to which channel you watch the most. We're going to be removing that from that tier. You're going to have to upgrade. You think they could probably do that, right?
Yeah.
They could say, well, this is the channel they watch the most.
Would your bill be cheaper if you just paid $10 per channel that you wanted?
No.
No?
No, I need more than 8 channels, I think.
All right.
Because mine's about $89. So it'd be 9 channels. $10 a channel. If you look at it that way, it's not that much to have to pay $10 a month for a channel.
Yeah.
If you watch it enough. I've been watching NBC because Last Comic Standing and, well, Undateable's over now, but mostly watch IFC, Comedy Central, AMC, a little bit of TBS. Boy, I'm missing that Pete Holmes show.
See, there's only like 5 channels, dude, and you're already into the, I barely watch that one.
Well, all I got to do is look at my fucking DVR and it'll tell me. It'll tell me what channels I watch. Right.
What if you could just pay a quarter for every episode you watched? A penny per minute of TV watched. So that'd be 60 seconds an hour.
900 minutes?
60 seconds an hour.
60 cents an hour?
Yeah.
So, 100 hours would be $6?
60 cents.
I'm good at math, but not that kind.
No, 60 cents an hour, so it'd be $6 every 10 hours. You'd get 100 hours.
For
that'd
60.
Be a horrible plan.
Yeah, let's not do that. I think I'll just stick with the but you know what? I've been getting messages saying your bill isn't paid. And I was like, bullshit, I got autopay. It comes out of my fucking card.
I'm always a month behind.
Forgot that my card expired and I got a different card.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
And I had already thought my bill was paid. So then I allocated the funds that were still on my card to other things that needed to be paid. And now that they tell me, but I think we have a good enough excuse to where my wife can call them and say, look, our card expired. We weren't aware. Please don't shut us off.
Mm-hmm.
She has to have her Bravo TV, which is Housewives of New York.
Housewives of anywhere.
I don't like that stuff. All right. Oh, yeah. And just want to let you guys know, we usually say at the end of the show, go to our websites, but most of them, I think, are still down. Terry Gow's not up. TerryGow.com. And,
no, they're down. What happened is they Amy with you. A bunch of charges.
They did. They fucked.
But then I got those removed, and I still owe $100, couple hundred bucks.
So that means what you should do is go not to our website. Well, if Tagcast is down, how can you donate? You could go.
You just go to your
PayPal.
Yeah, you could go to PayPal and donate it to your address or mine, which is GatchmanGames@hotmail.com.
And my PayPal is TerryAguile at Gmail.
Yep. So I'm hoping to get that resolved here soon, but rent's coming up too. And
that's right. So
precedence.
You guys should send us some money. I know that there's not a lot of constant listeners, but I bet there's about 20 or 30 or 50
sure,
or 100.
Yeah.
And if you guys could all just send us like 50 cents. I've been seeing a lot of people doing like a GoFundMe. It's like a Kickstarter thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys don't start doing it voluntarily, we're going to have to make one of those.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have to, but I got some comic friends who are doing some GoFundMes because they're traveling comics and their car, one of them, his car's broke down and he needs the money to keep doing shows. Understandable. I think he was shooting for $2,500 and in like 3 days he had half of it.
Nice.
So there is some support from the community, and if we end up doing that, you guys can give it to us, but just, you know, hang in there. Our websites will be back. We're just glad to be back podcasting.
Hell
glad
yeah.
Glad you guys are listening, and hope you have a wonderful Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll
and
see
don't
you
forget
on hump
to
day.
Rock on.
Don't forget to, how could they forget to rock on?
I don't know. People do.
Especially when it's hot and muggy like it is.
Jesus.
Still sweaty.
Christ.
So jump in the pool and
don't
hold
be
your,
a fool.
Hold your breath. Because otherwise you'll drown.
Yep.
We'll be talking about jumping in a pool on Wednesday.
I'll do it.
Okay. Metal. See you next time.